Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. QT and Sign Guy with you as usual. Hope everyone is continuing to stay safe out there in these uncertain times. And with no shows to plug right now, hopefully that will change soon. And I believe our guest is with us right now. Sean O'Brien, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Hey, what's up, Jason? How you doing?
Doing well. Now, since it is your first time with us here today, we're going to lead you off with the traditional first-timers question. What led to you getting into the world of pro wrestling?
Well, I was fortunate to grow up in Louisville, Kentucky, which, of course, you know, as most wrestling fans know, is quite a hotbed for wrestling as far as wrestling history goes. So, you know, I grew up going to OVW shows when I was a kid. I didn't go to a whole lot when I was like young. My first live show was an OVW show, and I remember meeting John Morrison afterwards and Matt Morgan and different guys. A small, short little backstory. I also grew up doing music. I am a classically trained singer. And then I also am a hip hop head. I love hip hop. So I kind of found a way to combine the two and did R&B hip hop. And so that was another passion of mine, back in the day. And pretty much I had like a crossroads where I came to where it was like, you know, pay all this money to train at OVW and maybe see if I could be a wrestler, or this was, you know, I'd say probably about 18-ish or whatever, or, you know, go this way and do music. And so I had done music for pretty much, I actually used to sing in an R&B group when I was in high school called The Gentlemen. And then one of those guys had kind of started a local label, and I was on his label for a little bit doing, you know, my own solo thing as Sean Patrick and all of that. However, while I was doing music, ended up, there was some independent wrestling stuff that was going on. You know, IWA Mid-South has always been in this area, but there was another company called UWA. It was, oh man, I don't even remember what the acronym stood for anymore. You know, there's so many acronyms in wrestling these days. Crap, what did it stand for? It was UWA was the letters, but it doesn't matter. They ended up having a show I went to because a family member of mine, her husband, he was a wrestler and wrestled with the company. So I went out and watched him, checked it out, because I used to go to OVW back in the day. And, you know, it was an okay product, I guess. But, you know, just hanging out with my family afterwards, I ended up pretty much finding my way in through that. And then there was one day where they were a little short on referees. I think that they had a battle royal or something that they were doing during the show, and somebody threw me a referee shirt. And pretty much the rest is history for the most part. I took some time off to go back and focus a little bit harder on my music, and ended up seeing some politics and seeing some ugly things that kind of turned me away from the music industry. And around that same time was whenever I had got an opportunity with IWA Mid-South. And pretty much that was where I started taking it like seriously, as far as like, this is something that I want to do. I want to make this my regular job. So, but yeah, man, I've been a wrestling fan pretty much my entire life. For the most part, I've been watching it since I was, little. The Monday Night Wars was when I was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. So, and that was pretty much what caught my bug. I fell in love with the business. And then also too, in high school, I did theater, and I also played football. So, and whenever I kind of figured out, you know, quote unquote, what wrestling is and how it's the perfect, you know, combination of the two, of athletics and entertainment, I was like, why wouldn't I want to be involved with that? You know what I mean? And so that was when around 18, I started to do some research as far as getting into OVW. This is also too when John Cena and all those guys was there too. So, you know, WWE still was very involved with OVW. So, but yeah, man, that's pretty much long story. How I got into the business was chance. And I had a family member that was involved. They needed a little bit more help. And then, you know, I've always wanted to be involved, so I was like, hell yeah, let's do it.
As someone that went into R&B and hip-hop as well as pro wrestling, did you find yourself gravitating towards guys like John Cena and guys like Men on a Mission, people like that that had the hip-hop and the R&B gimmicks, or was that not really relevant to who you enjoyed in wrestling?
Oh, no, absolutely, yeah, man. I was a big John Cena fan, still am a big John Cena fan, even though he's definitely not the same as what he was back in the day. But, yeah, man, like also Nation of Domination, I was a big Nation of Domination fan. Mark Henry, I was a really big fan of Mark Henry, literally based off the fact that he used 3-6 Mafia as his theme music, because that was pretty much like my first like love as far as being exposed to hip hop was, you know, Master P and 3-6 Mafia and, like, you know, stuff like that back in the day. So, so yeah, absolutely, man. I was definitely, you know, with all of that as far as, like, you know, the combination of hip hop and pro wrestling. And I'm still a big fan of it. I encourage, you know, guys, because, you know, I work for a wrestling school. And I encourage guys all the time, if they want to use hip hop in their gimmicks and stuff, I will give them all kinds of advice, because I'm like, yeah, man, it's great. Like, for instance, Jordan Oliver and Young Dumb and Broke and, you know, stuff like that. And, like, you know, Myron Reed with Injustice, like, you know, there's a little bit of hip hop in those gimmicks and stuff. I love it. Love it still. Nick Gage, you know, the gang banging image that he kind of puts off is not necessarily a lot of hip hop, but there's some hip hop influences in his gimmick, and I'm a real big fan of Nick Gage. You know what I mean? So,
one of the things that I used to find you on to kind of keep up with what you were doing for a while was your stint on the Dave Dynasty show. You used to do recaps of shows that you were on in the Midwest for the Dave Dynasty show. What led to you getting on board with that show and doing the reviews?
Well, so Dave is awesome. He's a cool dude. I love podcasts. I listen to that's pretty much all. At my shoot job, you know, I work in a factory and pretty much just, you know, I work with wood. And so I'm just using a drill all day for the most part, doing boring work. And so I will listen to any and every, especially wrestling podcast, but I've been trying to kind of venture out because I had noticed that I listened to nothing but wrestling podcasts. So, like, here recently I've been trying to listen to Joe Rogan and, you know, different guys, but yeah, man, I started listening to Dave's podcast. And also too, there was a couple other podcasts that was bringing me on their show. I'll go ahead and shout them out. Shout out to the Road Hole from Wrestling. That's one of my favorite podcasts. I love those guys. Also, I Got Your 5 Stars, Jeremy. Both those guys, you know, have really supported me since I really, like, got involved with IWA. And they were bringing me on their shows. And so, and then also Dave had brought me on as a guest. And so I, like, when I first got involved with wrestling, I kind of used the same marketing technique that I did with music. And I used to love doing interviews just to get my name out there. And so that was pretty much how the whole thing with Dave started. I did an interview with Dave, and, you know, we had great chemistry or whatever in the interview that we did. And he was like, hey, man, would you be willing to do, like, a segment? And I was like, sure. I've been approached about other shows and stuff, and, like, I have an idea for something that I want to do. But the reason why it ended up stopping is I just was getting way too busy, and it was kind of time consuming to try and get something done every single week. And then before I knew it, I procrastinated it, and, you know, different stuff. I'm sure that you know all about that, dealing with your own podcast. So, but yeah, man, like, I, that was, that was a blast, just because, like, at the time, Dave also had a segment with Mance Warner that was on there. And, like, Mance is my favorite wrestler. Like, I tell everybody it's my favorite wrestler. Like, he also had – there was another segment that he used to do. Plus, he used to have some really cool guests and stuff. He still has good guests that he brings on. But, yeah, it was really cool working with Dave, man. I really appreciated him giving me that opportunity. I also kind of was able to, you know, I guess work on my talking skills somewhat, because, you know, I was able to – I did a lot of interviews when I was doing music, but as far as, you know, relaying how I felt about professional wrestling, I had never really done that before, and so it was pretty cool.
Now, you, of course, are based in the Midwest, and the Midwest has been a hotbed of independent wrestling for years and years. It's easy to get around the Midwest compared to some areas of the country, just the way the geographics and the population is centered. Keeping all that in mind, what would you say has been the farthest trip that you've made so far for wrestling?
Well, and also, too, to your point, being where I live in Louisville, Kentucky, it's, oh, man, it's amazing, because I literally am in the middle of the Midwest, you know what I'm saying? But the farthest that I have went for professional wrestling so far, unfortunately, the show got canceled, but my birthday 2 years ago, Black Craft was supposed to run in California. And then my dad had got me a plane ticket, because I was booked on the show, because I worked every Black Craft wrestling show that they had. But they had the show in California that they had planned, and it got canceled, I think, a week before the show, maybe 2 weeks before the show or something. But I had already bought a plane ticket. My dad had got me a plane ticket for my birthday, because that's my birthday. It was my birthday weekend, and I had never been to California before. So me being proactive and knowing people, and you know how pro wrestling works, I ended up hitting up Sage Sin, who is out there in California. And they just so happened to be having a deathmatch tournament that same weekend. So I was able to hop on and ref a couple of matches in that deathmatch tournament, because I've worked with Sage Sin, you know, a handful of times. And so even though I didn't get the payday that I was expecting to get, because Black Craft paid really, really well, it was still an experience, because I was able to say that I refereed in California. And just being in Los Angeles in general, it's a whole new experience, man. And so that's probably the farthest that I've been, is California. I've also been up to Buffalo, New York. That was a drive. And that was actually for Black Craft also. Black Craft Wrestling had a show up there. So, yeah, that's probably the two farthest places that I've been so far. I also was in New York City for WrestleMania weekend last year. Yeah. And that was a pretty good drive. So I'd say that's probably the farthest, either California or New York.
Now, I feel badly that I didn't come across you when we were both in New York.
Oh, man, yeah. Oh, dude, there were so many people. I saw everybody, and I met so many people in New York. But, yeah, man, that would have been cool.
Absolutely. I did get to see Mance Warner, though.
Actually, shout-out to Mance. Mance is my guy. Because, you know, not only is he my favorite wrestler, but he's also a really good friend of mine, and he's a good dude. I actually rode to New York with Tyler Matrix, and we didn't have a plan whatsoever. We just was like, hey, let's just go. Because I had two or three bookings that weekend. So, and he had one, I think, on that Sunday, and he was going to try and pick up a couple more. So we just went up there, no place to stay, no nothing. And we had actually reached out to somebody else. I don't know if, well, everybody knows kayfabe and whatever. We had actually hit up Myron Reed, and Myron and Mance were staying in a hotel that, you know, was paid for by MLW. And so we was able to hit them up, and they was like, oh yeah, you can just sleep on the floor, you know, whatever. And so shout out to Mance, because, man, he really helped us out with that, because we had no plan whatsoever, and we were scrambling about 6 hours outside of New York. Like, dude, where are we going to sleep tonight? So, and Mance and Myron came through in the clutch for us, so that was pretty cool.
Now, in your career, I'm sure that you have seen the occasional injury pop up. That's just a everyday natural part of the business. You're going to see injuries if you're involved for any length of time.
Oh,
what's some of the injuries that you've seen happen to people in matches you've refereed?
Oh, man. Well, okay. The very first time that I met Marco Stunt, he broke his arm while I was refereeing the match. It was Marco versus Cole Radrick, and Marco had went to do something off of Cole. I don't remember what exactly it was, and he came down on his arm wrong and twisted it, and it was broke bad. And first time I ever meet this kid. Now he's one of my best friends. I love Marco to death. But he ended up breaking his arm. I get down next to him, and I'm in his ear, and I'm like, hey, you want me to stop the match? And he's like, no, I'm good. And then neither of us had looked at his arm yet or even like really seen it. And then he just kind of turned slightly, and it was like, you could tell it was broke. And I was like, no, we're done. Match over, threw up the X, I think, or I may not have even threw up the X. Cause no, I mean, if I make a big enough deal about an injury, then they're going to know what's real and what's not. You know what I mean? So I was like, I may have threw up the X, may not have. He called for Ian. Ian came running over. He picked up Marco and carried him like a little baby to the back. And then Maria actually was the one who took Marco to the hospital. That was one. I was the referee, even though it didn't result in a bad injury. I was the referee for the infamous Marcus Everett when he went splat. I don't know if you ever seen that video that went viral.
Yes.
Yeah, I was the referee for that one, and that went crazy, stupid, viral. I still get tagged in it probably once a month, maybe once every other month sometimes. So, but I was the ref for that. As soon as he hit the ground, if you watch the video back, you could see my reaction, because my buddies love to make fun of my reaction, because I literally jumped. Like, I jumped like I got scared, like a scary movie. And I screamed like out loud. I went, ha! and then it was like, that was my reaction. And then it kicked back in. I have a job to do. So I ran in and I was like, yo, you good? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. And I was like, no, seriously, bro, you just took a bad fall. Are you okay? And he was like, yeah, I'm fine. My elbow hurts a little bit, but I'm fine. And looked at his elbow. His elbow had a cut on it, but that was the worst damage. And he said he was fine. So I was like, all right, let's go. And so we kept on going, and they went another, I'd say probably 5-10 minutes, maybe, after he fell. So that was pretty crazy. And then, like, there's been little small situations. Like, for instance, I refereed a match with Logan James and Devin Moore. And Logan, it was really just perfect timing, if that's the best way to put it, as far as Logan went to throw a knee and Devin kind of went in at the same time, kind of like he was shooting. Like some old school wrestling stuff, and the knee caught him right in the chest, and it just knocked the wind out of him, and he couldn't breathe for a good, I'd say 10-15 seconds. Like, he was sucking wind, and I'm like, bro, are you okay? And then he couldn't even answer me back, and he was like, no, I'm done. That was all he could really muster out, because he couldn't breathe. And so I started freaking out, because I'm like, fuck, what the fuck? Like, I was all kinds of different scenarios went through my head, and then all of a sudden he's and he just let out a big breath, and then he was breathing again just fine, and he was like, I'm good. And then he was pissed because we had to stop the match. So that's actually the most recent, I think, that I had to stop a match, and that was a few months ago. So yeah, I've been a part of a few different injuries and different stuff, man. And I mean, it's like they always say, man, wrestling ain't ballet. Shit happens.
So, that is very
I don't know
true.
If I can cuss. I don't want to cuss too much.
you're all good.
Okay. All right.
Now, we all know that in wrestling there can be any manner of stipulations on matches or matches with people that just have strange gimmicks that make the matches a little bit odder than your standard wrestling match. What would you say has been the oddest match that you've officiated so far?
Oh, man. Let's see. There was a match that I refereed as far I'm trying to think. Well, I have refereed a Inside Out Battle Royal. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Like a backwards battle royal where you have to I refereed one of those and that was interesting. It worked out, you know what I'm saying? We got the purpose over, but it was still kind of weird just because I had always heard I think the only company that's ever actually done that on TV was TNA or Impact or whatever you want to call them, and I'd never seen it before, so it was a new concept to me. That was kind of strange. As far as deathmatch goes, one of the craziest that I had refereed was it was kind of like a 4th of July themed barbecue type match, and they had a fucking wood pit that was full of like hot coals and different stuff. They had another pit that had I think lemons that were cut up. They had a watermelon, and then they had like spatulas and different stuff to hit each other with, and like it was crazy because it was all like barbecue themed, and that match got a little wild. Dude got back body dropped into the pit of coals and stuff. That was pretty crazy. Yeah, that's probably two of the crazier ones I can think of off the top of my head. I've done some pretty goofy matches. Like there was a match. There was a local wrestler. I don't even think he wrestles anymore. His name was Trash Bradley, and he did like a hobo theme match that was pretty entertaining that I had refereed. But there's been a few of them. That's pretty much the wackiest ones I could think of off the top of my head.
I know that in a lot of promotions where you work, they have streaming available on the different streaming services, whether it's Fight TV or the Independent Wrestling Network or the Roku or whatever they happen to use for an individual promotion. It seems to be one of the bigger trends in independent wrestling right now as far as getting the product to more people, trying to make them aware of your product, maybe use it to merchandise the promotion a little bit so people will be buying the shirts and hats and stuff if they can't per se feasibly travel to the live shows. From your own vantage point, do you think that streaming the independent shows has been helpful to independent promotions by and large, or do you think that it's not really helped very much? Do you think it's maybe hurt live attendance and revenue?
That's kind of tough because I've seen both sides of the coin. This area is really fickle about supporting anything independent. And I know that because I did independent music at one point, and now I'm involved with independent wrestling. And like, I have buddies who will see that I'm working with certain guys that, you know, Ian brings into IWA. And, you know, like for instance, Mance Warner and Myron Reed being as you know, there as they are now, you know, through MLW and stuff. And like, I have guys who are casual wrestlers, not even really, like they're a little bit like, a little bit more than casual fans. Like they pay attention to stuff outside of WWE and stuff like AEW and different stuff. And like, they're starting to get hit to guys that I've been working with for years. You know what I mean? Like Myron and like a Marco Stunt on AEW, or like, you know, these different guys, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, you know, guys that I've worked with 2-3 years ago at IWA, and still they don't come to a show. I have buddies who was grinding on the independent music scene with me So they know how fickle this area is about independent, you know, supporting independent, and they still don't come to shows. But they'll go to a WWE show at the Yum Center in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? And so I say all that to say, as far as, you know, the independent whole, you know, the independent, like, for instance, there was a time period where independent wrestling was streaming show what IWA Mid-South shows. And Ian felt like it affected our attendance. And you kind of could see it because there was some shows people came out, you know, because they would want to see a certain somebody live. Like, I know there was one show that we did live on IWTV that I believe one of the matches that was on there was Shane Strickland and Myron Reed. So, you know, stuff like that. Like, of course, why wouldn't you want to see that live? You know what I mean? But then, since we were doing it weekly, there was some weeks where the crowds were a little lighter just because they knew they could watch it at home. And so in that sense, I feel like it did a little bit, but that's just because our area sucks in supporting stuff. And like, I hate to be like that, but it's kind of true. And I've seen it from, you know, more than just the wrestling business. So, but also I feel like it's very great and beneficial because in bigger cities, it's really, really helped out. Like, for instance, take a Bizarro Lucha, for instance, that's up in Indianapolis. You know, their first few shows was, you know, popping because Indianapolis has a wrestling fan base, like an independent fan base that wants to support wrestling, and they really haven't had anything consistent, you know, for a little while. So when Bizarro Lucha came around and they were bringing in some of the names that they were bringing in and some of the matchups that, you know, Bizarro Lucha has had, like Mike Quackenbush versus Billy Rock. Like, that's crazy. But, you know, just different matchups that they've had and different stuff. And you can literally see from show to show, the crowd gets bigger. And so and I feel they stream every week, you know what I mean? Or not every week, but they stream every show that they do on IWTV. So it's obviously not affecting crowds like that. Or like freelance wrestling, their crowds are getting bigger and bigger. AAW, I don't think they stream their stuff live. But, you know, AAW, they put their stuff up on high spots. I feel like it's definitely beneficial for fans to see more stuff only because – I hear stories all the time about how, you know, the tape trading days and all that stuff like that, and how, you know, to get IWA Mid-South back in the day and to see some of these, you know, Samoa Joe and Necro Butcher and, you know, different stuff like that, like, you had to seek it out and you had to, you know, go places. Now you just have to pay $10 a month and you could see every wrestling company. You know what I mean? And also, too, another thing, I see companies that I work for, like Paradigm Pro Wrestling, is a company that I've been a part of literally since they opened their doors. It's, you know, it's one of my homes. I've literally seen them gain notoriety and, you know, and gain popularity just through the streaming services because, you know, IWTV will feature Paradigm shows on the featured, you know, scroll or whatever it's called. I've seen them get more exposure through Twitter, and get more exposure through social media. But unfortunately, like I said, this area sucks. So the crowds haven't gotten much better or worse. You know what I mean? It's pretty much the same crowd that's been coming. It's gotten a little better, but not much. So.
One of the things that a lot of people end up doing once they're in the wrestling business for a while is booking. It's one of the more thankless jobs in wrestling, but also one of the more important parts of the wrestling business. Have you ever given consideration in getting into the booking end of pro wrestling?
Not at all. No, I'm good. I know it's a very thankless job. But also, you know, refereeing is also somewhat of a thankless job sometimes. People are starting to become more aware that there are referees that take the job serious because I feel like back, you know, throughout history, referees weren't taken as serious on the independent scene. And here recently, they've definitely started to be, you know, noticed a little more as far as, you know, good referees and stuff. But as far as booking, man, I don't even give it a thought. I mean, maybe one day if I feel like my body is breaking down and I can't referee anymore and I just want to figure out a way to stay involved in the wrestling business. And I've even helped as far as, you know, being somewhat of a booking assistant, but it wasn't like I was booking matches. It was more, I was just reaching out to guys because I, you know, had relationships with the guys. But even that was kind of tough just because, you know, I would try and throw names out at this particular booker and they were just kind of like, yeah. And then I'd be like, yo, we need to use this dude and nobody else is using him. Like, but you know, stuff like that. But I don't think I could do it. It's not anything that I've given any thought to anytime recently. It's probably the first time I've ever even thought about it, considering the question. So
sorry to put that into your head.
No, you're fine. You're good. It's been a slight thought, but it's not anything that I'm focused on. I really want to make refereeing, you know, my full-time job. Like, I would love to get a contract with WWE or AEW or something. Like, that's the end game. So that's really all I'm focused on, man. I haven't even really, you know, when I did the booking assistant thing, it was like, this is cool, but you know what I mean? So.
Well, at this point, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by. I know he has questions, so I'm going to pass things along to him for a bit.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Sean.
Hey, how are you doing, QT?
I'm doing pretty good. Now, Sean, I saw you in a YouTube video entitled Alley Cat versus Mance Warner, Mancer Rules Match, Black Label Pro Wrestling. Do you remember this match from 2018?
Oh, yeah. I definitely remember that match. It was a blast. It got wild.
Before this match, had you refereed an intergender match with Alley Cat? Was this the first time?
I may have. That may actually have been the first one with Alley Cat. That was around the first time that I came across Alley Cat. So that was probably the first time that I'd refereed an intergender match with her. But it wasn't the first intergender match that I'd refereed, though.
So. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Sean, Alley Cat came out to the ring with entrance music from the Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent. Ted Nugent. Specifically, the song was Cat Scratch Fever. My question is, why don't referees have entrance music, and would you yourself consider having entrance music?
Well, you know, traditionally referees have always supposed to been, you know, invisible is what we're, you know, what we're told, and kind of just be seen when we need to be seen. So I'm sure that's probably why referees don't have entrance music. And would I ever consider it? I mean, you know, I love music, so that would be, I mean, that'd be cool as hell if I had my own entrance music. But I did wrestle a match one time, and I didn't get to pick my own entrance music because I was a part of a team. But, you know, it's all good. The song was still pretty good.
Wow. Well, if you ever set a trend in Kentucky wrestling for referees having their own entrance music, would you yourself consider Ted Nugent's song Wang Dang Sweet Poon Tang as your entrance music?
I don't know if I've ever heard that, but it sounds like an interesting title. So I'll definitely give it some consideration.
Oh, well, you might want to listen to Wang Dang Sweet Poon Tang or Ted Nugent's song Great White Buffalo when we get off the air.
I will. Yeah, it sounds quite interesting for sure.
And if you decide not to use Wang Dang Sweet Poon Tang or Tie Your Mother Down or Great White Buffalo, would you consider any of the Beastie Boys songs from their album Polly's Boutique?
I would have to look at the track list for that, but I'm a huge Beastie Boys fan, so I love Beastie Boys. Absolutely, yeah. I was a big fan of what was their album about 2000 ish? That was I listened to that pretty hardcore.
I think that was Sabotage. No, it wasn't Sabotage. It was
Oh man, this is
License
bug me
to
now.
Ill.
Was it I think it was a License to Ill. That sounds right. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, let me say, have you ever been in the ring with a wrestler named Pineapple Pete, the wrestler formerly known as Sugar Dunkerton?
Absolutely, man. Sugar Dunkerton is one of my favorite people. I love Sug. And don't let him hear you say that. He's still known as Sugar Dunkerton. Pineapple Pete is just what got him on TV.
Do you yourself have a Pineapple Pete t-shirt?
No, but I need one. I got to get one. I plan on it eventually. I love that shirt. And quick little side note, Sugar Dunkerton was on Chris Jericho's podcast this past week or last week, and he told the story of how that t-shirt came to be and how literally it was just, you know, as soon as Jericho was calling him that, he said Pro Wrestling Tees was in his inbox and they were talking about making a shirt. So, and it was that quick.
Oh.
Like, yeah, yeah. I need one of those shirts really bad. Just because, you know, I love Suge anyway, but, you know, I got to support my dude.
All right. Okay. Okay. Well, Sean, speaking of Black Label Pro Wrestling, are you a big fan of Johnny Walker's Black Label Scotch?
I've never had it before. I'm not a big Scotch fan. Not a big Scotch fan. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, if you do ever sample Johnny Walker's scotches, be aware that the red label Johnny Walker scotch is not as refined as the black label scotch, which has hints of smoke and peat and wheat and corn characteristics. I'd go with the black label scotch if I were you.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds a little bit more better taste.
Oh, okay. Or if you have money to burn, you may want to go with the blue label Johnny Walker Scotch, because every ingredient has been aged 18 years in Scotland. That goes into that bottle.
Ooh.
Blue label.
Nice. Hell yeah. That sounds really nice.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying, Sean, that it's better than Cream and Ripple that Fred Sanford used to drink. He called it Cripple.
Ooh, yeesh. That sounds rough.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, Sean, Tommy Dreamer once almost died of mercury poisoning after eating almost 100 pieces of sushi in one sitting. My question is, what is the most sushi you have ever eaten in one sitting, and were you a big fan of Tommy Dreamer?
Well, to answer your first question, the most amount of sushi, I love sushi. And probably the most amount of pieces that I've ate in one setting was, I'd say probably 8 pieces of sushi, maybe 10, I think. Our local grocery store, Kroger, they actually, they have a little stand and they make sushi, like fresh sushi. And sell it in packs and stuff. They make it every day and throw it out at the end of the day. And I used to work by a Kroger that I used to go in and get sushi for lunch, just, you know, whatever. And so I love sushi. Probably about 10 pieces of sushi. I'm not eating 100 pieces. That's crazy. As far as being a fan of Tommy Dreamer, I wasn't a big ECW fan growing up, just because it was, you know, a little bit harder to find. And then once they got on TNN, I think it was, before it became Spike or whatever it was, I started following a little bit, but not a whole lot. And then Tommy Dreamer's run in WWE. I liked what he was doing in WWE. I actually have a funny Tommy Dreamer story. I kind of upset him a little bit because he had called this crazy finish with all kinds of stuff, and I didn't end up doing it the correct way or the way that he wanted me to do it or something. And I feel like he was kind of testing me a little bit, and I definitely failed that test. So that's my Tommy Dreamer story.
Whoa. Okay. Wow, Tommy Dreamer. Okay. All right. Well, Sean, now that we know of how many pieces of sushi you might be able to eat, is there any chance that you are going to challenge Pineapple Pete to a sushi eating contest?
Oh, man. Well, considering that, it took 100 pieces and Tommy Dreamer almost died from mercury poisoning, I don't know, man. Sushi eating contest doesn't sound like a good idea, but at the same time, I'm with it, man. I'm down for it. I love sushi, and I'm a competitive guy, so I'd give it a shot. I don't know how many I'm going to eat, but yeah, man, if Suge wants that smoke, he could bring it.
Wow. All right. Okay. We have a possible matchup. This is huge. Wow. All right. Well, Sean, getting back to the wrestling video, Alley Cat versus Mance Warner, at the 5:40 mark of the video, Mance picked out a staple gun from the garbage can that he brought to the ring. My question is, were you a big fan of the red swing line stapler in the movie Office Space? That's what I'm asking.
I don't think I've ever seen the movie. I've never seen the movie Office Space. Yeah.
Oh.
I can't answer that question. I guess I'm gonna have to go watch it though.
Yes, that's it. That's a homework assignment for you. Look up Red Swingline Stapler Office Space movie.
All right, I will do that. I'm gonna put it in my computer right now.
As well as listening to Wang Dang Sweet Poontang by Ted Nugent.
Yeah, I got that one up there too. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, now, Sean, you mentioned to Sign Guy that you were a classically trained singer. Do you ever also go on YouTube and look at one of the better singers in rock and roll history, Ronnie James Dio?
So I love Ronnie James Dio's voice. I really didn't grow up listening to much, you know, Dio or anything like that. And then he was also in Black Sabbath. What other band did he sing in? Yeah, Black Sabbath.
Rainbow.
Really didn't listen. Yeah. Didn't listen to a whole lot. However, I was a really, I still am a big Tenacious D fan. And Tenacious D, if you've ever seen Pick a Destiny, they had Dio in the movie, and that was where I was first kind of exposed to him. And so I've listened to some Dio, but not a whole lot to really be familiar with it. But yeah, he's got a beautiful voice, though.
Oh, yes, very, very good. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sean, you also mentioned to Sign Guy that you were in theater in high school. Were you in the play Midsummer's Night Dream?
Nope, I never did that play. But I love Shakespeare, though. So, never did that one. I was in quite a few plays, though. So musicals also. That was definitely my thing. I actually went to a performing arts school. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What was the name of the school?
It was actually called the Youth Performing Arts School in Louisville.
Oh, wow. All right. Did they have a mascot?
Well, we call it YPASS. YPASS was actually associated with a school called DuPont Manual. And DuPont Manual is actually, in USA Today's top 100 high schools or whatever it is. It's actually a one of the, top schools in the country. And so they're associated with that school. And Manual's mascot is the Ram. So.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the Ram. Okay, very good. So, the Ram, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Sean, I'm going to give you a triple homework assignment. There's a fascinating video out there. Are you familiar with the Godfather of Soul, James Brown?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I love James Brown.
And are you familiar with his song, It's a Man's World?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he sings on that one.
Well, he performs a duet on stage with the great opera singer Luciano Pavarotti, and they take turns singing it. It's amazing.
That sounds amazing. I need to see that. I love Luciano Pavarotti. He's got a beautiful voice. Actually, that was – oh, wow, yeah. I just found it. I'm going to definitely check that out. When I went to the performing arts school in high school, that was because I was a vocal major at the performing arts school, and that was actually what we had as our, mid-semester different projects, was that we had to learn different Italian arias. And so I used to look up all kinds of, different Italian arias and hear people singing them, how different things were pronounced and stuff. And Luciano, he sang so many different Italian arias and stuff. So, but I love Luciano Pavarotti's voice. So, yeah, I bet you that's amazing.
Yes, you'll be amazed at his performance. And can you get back to Sign Guy and give your out of 5 stars, you'll have to rate this performance with James Brown and give Sign Guy a quick rating. That's what I'm getting at. Rating.
Oh, yeah. I will. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I will.
Okay. Very good. All right. Well, Sean, we play a game here on Turnbuckle Turmoil called Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk, and you are to get have a choice between two subject matters. You have to pick one or the other, and there are no right or wrong answers. Are you ready to play this game?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go.
Oh, okay. Here we go. First one, Mr. T or Roddy Piper?
Definitely Roddy Piper, man. He was gold on the mic.
Oh, right. Okay. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia or Seinfeld?
I really didn't watch a whole lot of either show, but I watched more Seinfeld than I did It's Always Sunny. So I'm going to have to go with Seinfeld.
All right. Okay. Ric Flair or Bret Hart?
Ooh, man, that's tough. I definitely would have to say Ric Flair, because he could go in the ring. He had incredible matches and was amazing on the mic. And Bret Hart is a technical, magician. He does some incredible things. But man, Ric Flair is the GOAT.
Yes, and he had a good eye poke too.
Absolutely, yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay. All right. Coke or Pepsi?
I'm not a fan of either, to be completely honest with you. Can I say Dr. Pepper?
Yes. Yes, you can.
I'm not a fan of either, to be completely honest with you. Let me go back. If I had to make a choice between the two, and not cheat and break the rules a little bit, I would probably go Pepsi. So Coke just sits weird in my chest. I don't know.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to guess you're never going to drink Coke and Blue Label Johnny Walker Scotch. Never.
Probably not, unless, of course, that's all that they have at the bar, because there have been times where I've been at the bar and I was, I like me a little whiskey and Coke from time to time, or whiskey and cola. And if their only choice is Coke, then so be it. But, after two or three whiskey and Cokes, you really don't taste the Coke at all. So.
Yes. Yeah. Well, okay. Yes. All right. Next one, Randy Savage or Sting?
Stinger. Man, I would have to go with Sting. That's tough. But that literally my gut choice is Sting. I was a bigger Sting fan. Oh man, dude, you know what's crazy is I actually dressed up at different periods of my life as either one of those guys. I was Randy Savage for Halloween when I was probably about 6 or 7 years old. And then I was Sting. I was actually the Crow Sting later on in life. And I think I did the Black and Red Sting too, also 1 year for Halloween. So,
wow.
So yeah, I'd probably have to go with Sting.
Oh, all right. Okay. When you did dress up on Halloween as Randy Savage, did you have a Miss Elizabeth accompany you?
No, man. I was a little kid back then. But that would have been great, though. That's a future idea. I might have to use that one.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Undertaker or Steve Austin?
Ooh, man, you asking the hard-hitting questions now. Oh, man, that's so tough. I'm going to go Steve Austin. I'm going to go Steve Austin.
Okay.
Only because Undertaker is incredible, and, you know, it's an incredible character. And, you know, the things how he's been able to evolve that character over the years, but still stick, you know, to the same core of the character. But, man, Stone Cold Steve Austin was the man when I was a kid. You know what I mean? Like, that was literally who we all wanted to be. You know, we all wanted to, you know, stick our middle fingers. I don't even know what a middle finger was until I watched Steve Austin, to be completely honest. So.
Wow. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Prime rib or bacon cheeseburger?
Bacon cheeseburger. Prime rib is pretty good, man, but you can't go wrong with a good bacon cheeseburger. Actually, I think that's probably what I'm going to eat for dinner tonight.
Wow, we'll throw in a guacamole wedge with that. Yes.
Oh, man, now you're talking my language. I love me some good guacamole. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. How about Aflac Duck or Geico Caveman?
Let's go with the I'm more entertained by the Geico Cave. The Geico Caveman for sure.
Okay.
I would say those commercials make me chuckle a little bit more than the Aflac Duck does. The Aflac Duck is entertaining, don't get me wrong, but that Caveman is pretty funny.
Especially when he's going through the airport with his tennis racket.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. All right, and the last one, Daffy Duck or the Tasmanian Devil?
I'm going to go with Taz on that one, man. Taz was one of my favorite Looney Tunes back in the day. You know, Daffy Duck is cool. He's a little annoying. He's kind of a wuss sometimes. But yeah, man, Taz gives no Fs. You know what I mean? He's the man.
Wow, all right. Well, Sean, you did very well on Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy. And good luck listening to Wang Dang, Sweet Poom Tang, and Luciano Pavarotti.
Mm-hmm. I will. Thank you. I appreciate you putting me on to both of those. I'm definitely going to check them out as soon as we get off here.
Oh, okay. Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thanks, QT. Well, Sean, we have a few minutes left on the show today, and I want to give you ample time if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners today, if you want to plug and promote anything and everything, any live shows you might have confirmed, merchandise, anything you got going on, floor is all yours.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for letting me come on here, man. I definitely love the format of your all show and your all style and everything, so it's been a blast. The best way to follow me and to see what I'm doing, where I'm going to be at, all that good stuff is across social media. My Instagram and my Twitter both are at official SPO502. And then, you know, my Facebook is Sean Patrick O'Brien. I'm kind of close to the limit as far as friends go. But, you know, if you message me and you really want to follow me on Facebook, I can find some room for you. As far as shows coming up, man, you know, with the times right now, it's a little bleak. But I do have some dates in my calendar. IWA Mid-South actually has we have two shows on the calendar coming up. We have a Battle of the Sexes on, I believe it's June 18th and then June 19th. We are going to be, which that Battle of the Sexes is in coordination with Battle Broads. So that'll be fun. And then also we have a show in Indianapolis planned for IWA Mid-South, and that's on the 19th. Also, I want to say it's July 5th. I am going to be Paradigm and Midwest Wrestling Territory.com are throwing a co-branded show called Pawcade, and it's to benefit, I want to say, the Humane Society in Salem, Indiana, I think, is where it's at. You'll have to look it up to be completely sure, but I know it's a benefit show for a good cause, because, you know, who doesn't love dogs? And one of the big matches that is actually on there that was just recently announced is Effie and Madman Pondo. So that's going to be incredible. there's also a hoss battle that has some really, really, you know, awesome guys in it. That's going to be a really fun show. That's July 5th. That's the two most recent that I believe. I know Paradigm has some shows for the end of June, I believe. But don't get me lying and give you all the wrong dates. Like I said, the easiest way to follow me and keep up with what I'm doing, I'm everywhere. And I love being at wrestling shows, and I can't wait till we can get back to go into wrestling shows. Like, really can't wait. Best way to follow me and get a hold of me and see where I'm at, what I'm doing, is on my Twitter and Instagram at @officialSPO502.
I'm a little disappointed that benefit show for the dogs doesn't have the Midwest Mud on it, but he was otherwise booked on that day, I think.
I think so. Yeah, they were trying to get him on there, and yeah, man. I want to say his tag team partner is going to be on there, Jonathan Wolf. But yeah, I don't think Sean Kemp is going to be on there. So.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the show today. We absolutely enjoyed having you, and best of luck to you. Hopefully, those dates all hold, and you'll be able to get back to what it is that you do best here in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you guys, you know, for, you know, getting guys out there, you know, and bringing exposure to independent wrestling, man. Cause we need more guys out there like y'all. So appreciate you letting me come on.
Our pleasure. And once again, best of luck to you. You're absolutely doing phenomenal out there. So I look forward to more of that. Fans, definitely, if you know that Sean's going to be on a show, go watch him. He's excellent at what he does. He works for some quality places, so support him and what he does. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. We have Reno Riggins on the show. And then 1 week today, from today, we continue with Referee Month, and we will have a referee out of the NWA, Robert King, with us. So make sure you join us then, and we'll talk to you soon.
Once a man, you smoke like your grandmother. To underneath your town, a gentle wind is you.